الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سلك سبيله واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. The author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, باب ما جاء في البهتان. باب ما جاء في البهتان. The chapter with regards to that which has come relating to al-buhtan, al-buhtan, slandering, fabricating lies against people, al-buhtan, meaning that which has come with regards to the clarification of the severity of this sin, and the danger of this sin, and the foul affair of the one who falls into that, and the great threat of a severe punishment for those who perpetrate the likes of this affair. Al-buhtan is from bahata. Bahata yabhatu min babi fataha, and it has the same sarf. Bahatahu, you say bahata fulanun fulanan idha ramahu bil kadhib wa iftara alayhi wa nasaba ilayhi ma lam yaqulhu wa ma lam yaf'alhu. This is called al-buhtan, slandering, and to ascribe to somebody that something that they did not do, to lie on them and to lie about them, and to fabricate lies against them, and to ascribe to them a statement or an action that they are free and innocent from. To ascribe to them a statement or an action that they are free and innocent from. And this here, the issue of al-buhtan, ashad min al-ghiba. It's more severe than backbiting. It's more severe than backbiting. The author, rahimahullah, he has a chapter coming after a few chapters with regard specifically to al-ghiba. But al-ghiba is to mention somebody behind their back, and that which they do not like, and that's true about them. That's true about them. To say something truthful about somebody that they would not like to be mentioned in their absence, this is called al-ghiba. Worse and more severe than that, al-buhtan. And to say something about somebody and ascribe something to them that they did not do, rather that they are innocent and free from, whether it's from statement or from action. Whether it's from statement or from action. So then you say bahata, bahatahu yabhatuhu. Bahatahu yabhatuhu bahtan wa buhtanan. Bahtan wa buhtanan. With regards to the ism fa'il, it's from those that are like the sifa mushabbaha. You call him bahut. You don't say bahit, you say bahut. Fahuwa bahutun. Fahuwa bahutun. And the plural is buhut. Buhut, and the one who is performing buhtan, he is the one you say about him, bahut, that he is bahut, waliyadu billah, the one who performs that. Or also, lil mubalagha, you say bahat, furanun bahatun, or furanun bahutun. Somebody, this person here is always slandering individuals and ascribing to them falsely that which they are free from, and says that they said this and that, and they never said that, and they're innocent of that, or said that they did this and that, and they never did that, rather they're innocent from that. All of this is what is considered here. All of this is what is considered here. Also, it has come, bahita. Bahita, al-rajulu idha indahasha. Indahasha wa tahayyara. And also, any more eloquent than that, afsah min that, fi hadha al-ma'na, buhita. Buhita, fa buhita alladhi kafar. And he was defeated, and he was finished, and yani tahayyara, indahasha wa tahayyara, in this manner, has the similar meaning, fuhuwa mabhutun. So sometimes one verb will come on one scale, and it will have one meaning, and then sometimes it will come on another scale and have another meaning from that, bahata wa bahita. This is from the beauty and the richness of the Arabic language. So our topic now, al-buhtan, and this is something that's major, and something that is severe, and it's something that a true believer is free from, and his tongue is safe from that, and the honor and the reputation and the respect of the believers is free from that. It's free from that. And a believer, no matter how much he had enmity or dislike for somebody in his heart, he will never slander him. He will never slander him. It's not even allowed to slander the disbelievers or to slander the innovators and the likes like this. Even this is not allowed. If a person who speaks against the people of falsehood, he will speak with justice and truth. And he will speak not with knowledge and wisdom. And he will not fabricate lies against them. He will not fabricate lies against them. So the issue of buhtan is something that is severe. And many people, they're involved in that in these days. Waliyadu billah. وليعذ بالله. And they're unaware of this, or they are heedless of the reality of this affair. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. And he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, indeed those who annoy the believing men and women, who annoy them and bother them, and disrespect them without right and unjustly, annoying them and bothering them unjustly. يعني الإذاء, it has preceded. This has preceded in the book of At-Tawheed. الإذاء is lesser than الدور. Lesser than الدور. الدور is when somebody is physically harmed. But الإذاء والأذية, this is a light type of harm. And that's why it's mentioned an annoyance. Or to agitate and to bother. If somebody calls somebody names, for example, this doesn't physically harm him. But it bothers him and annoys him and the likes like this. So he's not harmed by that physically and the likes, but he's definitely annoyed and disturbed and bothered and agitated by this affair. So this is al-adhiyah. So الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا. Those who annoy and bother the believing men and the believing women without right and unjustly, فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Then verily they have carried the great crime of slander and clear sin and action of disobedience. So this is the reality of that affair, to harm the believing men and the believing women by ascribing to them that which is not from it. And this is one aspect of that idha, or that adhiya. Yani to say about them that which they did not do, or that which they did not say, to ascribe to them falsely. This is one aspect of what is included here. So this is the case. And they have bore the sin of slander and clear sin and transgression, yani against the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what they carry and this is what they bear by committing this issue here in this manner. Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his commentary about this particular verse, he says, وَلِهَذَا كَانَ سَبُّ أَحَادِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مُوجِبًا لتعزيري بحسب حالته وعلو مرتبته. So because of this, yani because of this issue here, that those who harm the believers and speak ill of the believers and lie and slander the believers, lie on the believers and slander the believers, the one who curses them or calls them names or does the likes of these affairs, it's legislated, whether it's an obligation to reprimand him and to check him and to stop him, and ta'zir. Ta'zir is from the legal punishments that are in the hand of the Muslim ruler and those who take his place from the judges. The ta'zir is a type of legal punishment that's in the hand of the Muslim ruler or the Muslim judges, those who are under the authority of the Muslim ruler, and they have the authority to determine and to rule against the people in certain situations for crimes and the likes like this. So the one who is known for cursing the believers and calling them names and lying on them, ascribing to them falsely, if they're taken to court for this, they will be reprimanded and they will be checked and they will be stopped, and according to that which the particular judge and he sees fit for the individual of that circumstance. And he said, rahimahullah, this is according to his status and level. Just a believer, somebody who slandered a believer, somebody who lied about a believer, somebody who's backbiting or calling the believers names and harming them in this manner like this, if they're taken to court and found guilty for that, they will be reprimanded. They will be stopped and they will be reprimanded, and the punishment and penalty will be ascribed for them. Will be ascribed for them according to their level and according to their status. According to their level and according to their status. Then he says, rahimahullah, فَتَعْزِيرُ مَنْ سَبَّ الصَّحَابَ أَبْلَغُ وَتَعْزِيرُ مَنْ سَبَّ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَأَهْلِ الدِّينِ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ. So the punishment and the retribution and the prescribed penalty for those who do this, for those who curse the companions and speak ill about the companions radiallahu anhum, it will be more great and more severe. And likewise, those who speak ill about the people of knowledge and those who speak ill about the students of knowledge and the people of religion, those who are known for piety and righteousness, any of the slaves and their worshippers, the punishment, the ta'zir is ablagh and ashad, it's more severe. It's more severe. And this is something that is major and that we see in this day, that there are individuals, they're making buhtan, There are individuals still to this day slandering the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, slandering them, slandering our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and slandering Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, and other than them from the companions. So the punishment for them will be even more severe. We have seen some issues related to that. If they're to slander Aisha radiallahu anha for that affair, that would be considered disbelief. Waliyadu billah. But now the issue that we see today, which is widespread amongst the ranks of some of the lowlifes and some of the foolish or some of the ignorant and those who have been tried, yani by having role models who are themselves lowly and uneducated and not firm and steadfast upon obedience, is that they will look for the most righteous of the people to slander them and to backbite them, to call them names, the people of knowledge, the people of knowledge. Brethren, in some gatherings, a person, he will not have a high status or be respected until he slanders one of the people of knowledge. And we're talking about the people of knowledge, the people of the Sunnah, the people of the proper creed and the proper belief, scholars of the Sunnah who are well known for their creed and their methodology. Not talking about the scholars of misguidance or the scholars of innovation or the scholars of evil and su and fasad and the likes like that and deviation. Rather, the people of knowledge who are well known, the people of knowledge who we have known for years. And that their beards have become gray upon knowledge and teaching al-aqidah salafiyyah, wal-manhaj salafi, and teaching and spreading at tawheed and the sunnah and the likes like this. They're individuals that they will not have rank amongst their friends until they slander one of them, until they ascribe to one of them something falsely. And this is a foul way and a lowly way. And this is because they have been cultivated upon that way by their so-called elders and the likes like this. And this is contrary to what is correct, and this is not allowed. This is contrary to what is correct, and this is not allowed. These are things that I have witnessed myself. People slandering the scholars and lying on the scholars and ascribing to them things that they're free of. Ascribing to the scholars things that they're free of. And completely and entirely. And this is a foul way. And this is a lowly way. And this is the way of the lowlifes and the ignorant. And the believers, they should realize this. And the people of the Sunnah, they should recognize this. And they should stop in their limits. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. This is a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they have taken on a great sin. They've taken on a great the sin and the burden of slander. And likewise, yani, of clear sin. So this is something, yani, that is very serious. To slander a Muslim is not allowed. To slander the people of knowledge even more severe, and to slander the students of knowledge likewise, those who are upright and known for goodness and known for spreading the proper creed and proper belief and benefiting their community, to slander them and to ascribe lies to them that they said this and did that, or that they're from this and they're from that, or they did this and did that, and they're free from that, and they're just claims and they're just statements that are free from reality. And then they spread that on Twitter, and they spread that on Facebook, and they spread that in their groups and the likes like this, spreading things about the scholars. And running the people away from the scholars. This is from the ways of the people of desires. This is in reality from the ways of the people of desires and the ways of shaitan, that he will defame the upright people of knowledge and those who the Muslims benefit from in their religion and their deen in order to take their place. So they will defame the people who are reliable, and they will defame and speak ill and demonize the character of the people who are noble and good, and get them out of the way, any out of their way, with regards to the people who listen to them, so that they will have their position and they will have their place. And they will do whatever they like at that time. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is a foul way and a great resemblance to the people of whims and the people of desires. The author, he says, عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه مرفوعا من قال في مؤمن ما ليس فيه أسكنه الله ردغة الخبال حتى يخرج مما قال رواه أبو داود بسند صحيح. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, whoever says something about a believer that he did not say, whoever said something about a believer that he does not have, and he ascribed to him something that he's free from, whoever said something about a believer and ascribed to him something that he's free from, أَسْكَنَهُ اللَّهُ رَغْدَةَ الْخَبَالِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause him to reside in رَدْغَةَ الْخَبَالِ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ مِمَّا خَالَ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ مِمَّا قَالَ, until he leaves and retracts that which he said. This hadith is narrated by Abu Dawood with an authentic chain, the author he mentions. A similar narration like this has come in Sunan Ibn Majah with the clarification of what is intended by radghat al-khabal. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, ma radghatu al-khabal? What is intended by this? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, usaratu ahli nar. Usaratu ahli nar. Yani sadidahum. Sadid ahli nar wal-qayh wal-yadhu billah. So it is intended here that those who say about a believer that which is not true, those who ascribe to him and say about him that which he's free and innocent from, then Allah will cause him to reside in this place here and in the hereafter. In the hereafter. Radghatu al-khabal. And the companions, they asked, what is that? What is intended by this? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it is the pus. It is the pus and the fluid from the wounds of the people of the fire. It is the pus and the fluid and the filth from the wounds of the people of the hellfire. حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ مِمَّا قَالَ until he retracts from what he said. Meaning until he repents and he feels remorse in his heart that he had defamed and that he had slandered and he had made buhtan and that he had ascribed to that believer that which is free from and that which is innocent from. And the severity of that again is according to the level. Just a believer here. A believer, any believer. From the layman of the believer. This is the threat and the punishment. So how about if it's the people of knowledge? Or the great people of knowledge? Or the kibar ulama? And the likes like this. Or the students of knowledge who have great benefit in their land. And have great efforts in spreading tawheed and sunnah. And clarifying innovation and falsehood and the likes like that. Any of those people who have lots of good with them. And benefit with them. Those who come and slander them. And speak ill of them. And lie on them. And ascribe to them that which they are free from. Their affair is even more severe. So this is the case, and that's the threat for that person, and that punishment will be for him until he retracts what he says. Until he retracts from what he says. What does it mean that in حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ مِمَّا قَالَ يعني حَتَّى يَتُوبَ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا حَتَّى يَتُوبَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا. Until he feels great remorse in his heart for falling into that, and he repents to Allah, and he leaves off that slander, and he leaves off that slandering and that foul way, and he desists from that, and he has strong determination never to return to that. And since it's with regards to the right of a human being, now he has to also apologize to that person and seek the pardon of that person in this life. So if he slandered somebody, then he must go to him and tell him, I apologize. What I said about you was wrong, and it was a lie, and it was a slander. And what I did was wrong, and I hope that you can pardon me and overlook my fault. I repent to Allah. May Allah forgive me for that. Inshallah, I will never do that again. Like this. This is what is incumbent for that person to do. Or else the threat, yani, remains for him. Or else the threat remains for him. Again, those brothers who have set on a path to seek knowledge, to know the people of falsehood and to beware of them, and to know the people of Hizbiyah and to beware of them, and to know the people of deviation to beware of them, and likewise to warn from them by name whenever needed. This is something that is from the deen, but there's a fine line there. And many people have transgressed the limits and they didn't suffice with warning and speaking ill about the people of innovation or the people of misguidance or the people of inhiraf and the people of deviation and the likes like this until they became so preoccupied and busy they start speaking about the people of knowledge who are upright and well-known and recognized by the scholars and the likes like that. And likewise the individuals who have benefited and come home from the students of knowledge and the likes like this. This is something that is major. This is something that is major, not to get involved in that way, and to know one's own level, to know one's level in one's rank, and to busy oneself with that which is beneficial. To busy oneself with that which is beneficial. To know the people of falsehood, to avoid them and stay away from them. No doubt. And the likes like this, but not to be deceived. Not to be deceived. There are individuals who are, there are extreme liars, and there are great slanderers. And they have been doing this for some time, lying about the people of knowledge and ascribing to them statements falsely. Some of them they will ascribe to one of the scholars that he warned from so-and-so. And then when you ask that scholar, he will say, Wallahi, I never warned from him. Wallahi, I never warned from him. These are things that I witnessed and experienced myself in the faculty of Hadith in 2013, 2012, 2013. How many years ago? They're doing it before that, huh? Almost 10 years ago. 10 years ago? 10 years ago in Medina, all around the gatherings of the Salafi students of knowledge, it was spread amongst us. It was spread amongst us that Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabi, Hafidhullah, he warned from Shaykh Abdul Razak. He warned from Shaykh Abdul Razak. This was spread amongst all of us. We were benefiting from Shaykh Abdul Razak, and were in his gatherings, and his gatherings were so beneficial. And then people started coming to us, warning Sheikh Ubayd, he warned from him. Even somebody who I trusted at that time, he came to me and told me, Sheikh Ubayd said he's an innovator. So this is why it spread around the gatherings. Then two years later, I was in a gathering with Sheikh Ubayd in Masjid Ridwan in Medina. And Sheikh Ubayd, he used to have gatherings, Hafidhullah, on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. After Jumu'ah, he would sit and we would write questions and send him the questions and he would read them and he would answer them. And we used to go there and attend the Jumu'ah because we hope that Sheikh Ubayd is going to be there. If Sheikh Ubayd is there, we know he's going to sit with us. So we would go, and if he's there, we would stay. If he's not there, we would even go back, yani to our home or to Masjid al-Nabawi. But Sheikh Ubayd, he said this time, this is about 2 years later, after this had occurred. And he was asked, Sheikh Ubayd, what do you say about Sheikh Abdul Razak? I heard it with my own ears. It's recorded now, you can find the recording. He said, هو من كبار العلماء. هو من كبار العلماء. لا نعرف عليه أي أصول فاسدة. لا نعرف عليه أي أصول فاسدة. I remember the words. He said, he's from the major scholars. We do not know any corrupt principles that he's upon. And he praised them in a great manner. So this affair is something that is well known, something that we have witnessed, and something that we testified to, that we've seen with our eyes and seen with our ears, and there's worse things I can mention than that. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify the affairs, just so that it's known. This is the case here. Many people, they ascribe lies. They ascribe lies to the people of knowledge. Another one is mentioned that Shaykh Muhammad, at the same time, he was warning from him. In the Kuliyat al-Hadith, my friend, he went to Shaykh Muhammad. He said, well, Shaykh Muhammad, right now, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he's going to start Fath al-Majid. He was like, Allahu Akbar, everybody wants to go. But then some people were saying, let's go. And other people were saying, no, Shaykh Ubayd warned from him. The same thing. Then they're saying, Shaykh Muhammad warned from him. Likewise. And then, so they asked Shaykh Muhammad in the hallway of Kuliyat al-Hadith about that. And he said, go. Why wouldn't you go? And the brother, he said, Sheikh, we heard that you warned from him and warned from his gatherings. You know what he said? He raised his voice in the hallway. Everybody can hear. La'natullahi ala al-kadhibin. May the curse of Allah be upon the liars. I never warned from Sheikh Abdul Razak in one day in my life. Go and attend and benefit. So these are things that we have experienced and we have seen. And it's from having a foul intention and a corrupt aim and goal, and also from having ignorance as well. So we should not be deceived by these affairs. And if somebody comes speaking to us about the people of knowledge, then we shouldn't hasten and rush. We should listen, especially if you're somebody who's well known from the scholars of the Sunnah. Before we believe what they're saying, we look who they are first and foremost. Who are you? Where did you hear that from? Because we're not supposed to listen to the slander in the first place. And we're not supposed to listen to the one who backbites in the first place. وَلَا تُوْفَلَا تُوْفِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. Do not listen to that person. Do not obey him. So this is something to be aware of. Some of the students of knowledge, they have been involved in this. And this is their methodology, and this is their way. It is not right. It is incorrect. It is not right, and it is incorrect. In reality, the people of knowledge, they're not like that. The people of knowledge, they're not like that. And the gatherings of the people of knowledge, they're not like that. And the manners and the etiquettes of the people of knowledge, they're not like that. And the noble students who truly benefited from the people of knowledge, they're not like that. And their manners are not like that. I witnessed, I seen it in my eyes, they're not like that. I seen it compared to what we see sometimes from these people here. They're not the same. They don't act the same. They don't think the same. Whenever things happen, they don't solve problems the same. It's completely different. Completely different. Like night and day. Like night and day, wallahu musta'an. Some of the poets they have said, ya ma'ashar al-qurra, ya milh al-balid. The meaning is, O students of knowledge, ya ma'ashar al-qurra, ya milh al-balid. O students of knowledge, calling on them, O students of knowledge, O salt of the land, who is going to rectify the salt if the salt is corrupted? And he mentioning that comparing the people of knowledge to salt. The food cannot be good except with salt. If there's no salt in the food, it will never be tasty. If there's too much salt in the food, it will not be good. It will be corrupted. If the salt itself becomes bad, what happens to the food? So the food, you have to have salt, or else it will not be beneficial. It will not be good. It will get thrown out and tossed to the side. So if the salt goes bad, then who's going to rectify? How's the food going to be rectified? So the poet is resembling the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge to the salt of the land. If the people of knowledge are corrupted, if the students of knowledge are corrupted, they have foul intentions and they want the dunya, and they want the rank and they want the status. And the likes like this, then who's gonna be in the land to remind the people? Who's gonna be a role model for the people? Al-ulama wa tullab al-ilm hum al-qudwa. The scholars, yani qudwa al-nas, amma. The scholars and the people of knowledge, they're the role models for mankind. And they're the role models for the Muslims, and they're the role models for the people of the Sunnah, even more specific. The scholars and the people of knowledge. So how about if now the scholars or the people of knowledge, or the students of knowledge, they become corrupted. Then the people who follow them, likewise, what happens to them? The laymen even more corrupted, even more wicked. And that's why we see in some communities that there will be students of knowledge over there, but it's corrupted. It's corrupted, and the people who are learning from them, they learn knowledge, but they don't learn manners, and they don't learn etiquette, and they don't learn how to apply the application properly, and to be upright, and to rectify their soul, and to purify their intention, and to purify their manners and conduct. Indeed, this is because the issue is corrupted. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and the role models are corrupted, and the elders are corrupted. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, this is something that is foul. This is something that we should be aware of, and that's something that we should know. If we're going to take someone as a role model and an example, then make sure that he's known to have the proper creed and methodology and the proper manners and etiquettes. And even if he has the greatest praise from this great scholar and that scholar and that scholar, but his manners and conduct and his actions are not in accordance with that, then we say that that scholar, he praised him based on what he saw and what he knew. But if he knew what we knew, he would never praise him. If he knew what we knew, and if he saw what we saw, and if he heard what we heard, then he would never praise him. So this is something to beware of. Al-Buhtan, slandering the people of knowledge and slandering the students of knowledge, this is something widespread, waliyadu billah, amongst us these days. And namima, likewise, and backbiting from the previous chapter. Even Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned in his explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam. It's a recording in the chapter of Tahara. The last hadith in the chapter of Tahara is the hadith that we mentioned in the previous class that we read about those people in the grave. One of them is being punished in the grave because of carrying tales. Shaykh Fawzan, he mentioned specifically right here a great admonishment and advice, and he says, how many of the students of knowledge are involved in this today? How many of the students of knowledge have been preoccupied and fallen into this today, carrying tales about this one and that one? Sometimes, and he mentioning the students of knowledge specifically. And then he threatened them and warning them. Yani, as a means of reprimand, he said, that punishment right there is waiting them. Meaning, if you do not repent, this is what you're facing too. Yani, so this is something to be aware of. That true knowledge, you will rectify the heart. It will rectify the soul. It will rectify the tongue. It will rectify the eyes. It will rectify the ears. It will rectify the manners. It will rectify the conduct. It will rectify the way he moves. He'll not be walking around any arrogantly and proudly and the likes like this, like the layman, or like someone who's tried. Even some laymen are even better than them. Wallahi, some laymen are even better than them and more pious and righteous and more honest and truthful in their faith than some of these people who ascribe to seeking knowledge. Wallahu al-musta'an. So this is something to be aware of. There's a threat with regards to that. So those students, they should recognize this affair and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before they face this issue, before death comes to them, and leave off that affair. Wadi Muslim and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu marfu'a. The author, he says, and also it's narrated by Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, atadruna malghiba. Do you know it is backbiting? قَالُوا أَلَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ قَالَ ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ قِيلَ أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ قَالَ إِنْ كَانَ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ اكْتَبْتَهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ بَهَتَهُ. So here the author, he's mentioning this narration for the clarification of the severity of al-buhtan and slandering. And the issue is about backbiting, but then to clarify even more severe than that is to slander and to ascribe to him falsely that which he did not say. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Atadruna marghiba?" Do you know what is backbiting? And this is a beautiful manner in teaching likewise. This is from the aspects of the prophetic methodology in educating the people. By asking questions and drawing the attention to wake up and to listen. أَتَدْرُونَ مَالْغِيبَةِ. You know what is backbiting? And at this time, of course, people start, they wake up and start listening, yani, hoping to find the answer. And they all said, radiyallahu anhum, Allah wa rasuluhu alam. Allah and His Messenger know best. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet he mentioned, and in his answer now, this is the most clearest and the best definition of ghiba. He defined it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, precisely. Dhikruka akhaka bima yakrahu. Dhikruka akhaka bima yakrahu. To mention your brother in a manner he does not like. To mention your brother in a manner he does not like. The author, rahimahullah, he's going to have a chapter specifically with backbiting. And we save the details, inshallah, with regards to that until when this chapter comes. The point is now that it was said to him, أَفَرَأَيْتِ إِنْ كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ. He said, tell me, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if what I say about my brother is true? And if he truly has that characteristic? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنْ كَانَ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ اِكْتَبْتَهُ. That if what you said about him is true, meaning that he truly has that characteristic and trait, then you have backbitten him. Then you have backbitten him surely. When لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ بَهَدْتَهُ. And if what you said about him was not true, meaning that attribute or characteristic was not present, then you have slandered him. Then you have slandered him. So to slander him, this is even more great, and this is even more severe. So the reality of backbiting is that it's a major sin, and more major than that is slandering, and ascribing lies to people, ascribing actions that they're free from and innocent from, ascribing statements to them that they're free from and innocent from, especially if those statements are ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu to Allah or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has preceded. And the previous chapters, especially if those statements are ascribed to the people of knowledge, which is what we see today occurring and happening. And alhamdulillah, there are noble students of knowledge who are free from that. There are noble students of knowledge that are free from that, alhamdulillah, many of them. But unfortunately, there are a few of them or a number of them who have been affected by this affair. And it's something that is witnessed, and from that, much trials have come. And much foul cultivation has come, and much misunderstanding has come, and much dissension has come, and much separation has come, and much fitna has come because of that. So to be aware of that in order to avoid it, to not be tried by it, or to fall into it, or to not be deceived by it and tricked by it, and the likes like this. Because sometimes those who smile in your face, they do not want good for you. They do not want good for you. This is a reality that we should be aware of. So after this, the author, he says, rahimahullah, babu ma ja'a fil la'an. The chapter with regards to what has come about cursing. Babu ma ja'a fil la'ani. The chapter with regards to that which has come from cursing. Any meaning, again, the threat and the threat of a great punishment with regards to that, and the clarification that is from the major sins, and also the clarification as well that is from the lowly manners, the lowly and the despicable traits. Carrying tales, backbiting, slandering people, lying on people, the worst, lying on individuals, lying about the religion of Allah, lying on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no doubt the most severe, ascribing to the deen of Allah falsely, no doubt the most severe, ascribing to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam a statement or action that he's free and innocent from, the most severe. But likewise, after that, the people of knowledge, and after that, the students of knowledge, and after that, the righteous and the pious, and those people who are known for good and noble manners and conduct, those people who are known for being steadfast upon Islam outwardly, and likewise after that as well, any Muslim, even it's not allowed to slander and to lie on disbelievers or innovators, to lie or slander disbelievers or innovators. Also from those lowly manners and those despicable traits and those traits, the traits of the lowlifes and those who are foul, cursing people. La'an, it has more than one meaning. La'an has two meanings. La'an, sometimes it's used and it's referring, what's referring to is a sab, with shatam, with kalam is sayyid. And sometimes they will say, they're referring to a la'an, to curse somebody. And meaning, the first meaning to curse them out, meaning to call them names in their face. I mean, that's called a sab, with shatam. Also, it's called a la'an. So this is different from ghiba. Ghiba is when you do that behind his back. If you do it in his face, what is that called? Seb, washatam. And so here, what is intended? A seb washatam, to call him names, to talk bad to him in his face, and call him names in his face directly. And about him, bad things about him, like this. This is called seb. and shatam. And also it's called la'an. This is one meaning. But what is being referred to here, and what Allah knows best, is the second meaning. And that is to put the curse of Allah on somebody. La'anatullah azza wa jal. Meaning to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not have mercy on them. This is what the la'an means. The second meaning, la'an yani al-ib'ad and rahmatillah. That a person who will ask Allah to take them far away from the mercy of Allah. And it could happen in direct speech, like somebody will say la'anahullah, or somebody will say la'anallahu fulanin, like this, or to him or to her. And it will happen directly with that word, la'an, or the derivatives, or even other words likewise that have the same meaning. To say, for example, may Allah be angry with so-and-so. May the curse of Allah be on so-and-so, that's direct. May the anger of Allah be on so-and-so. May Allah not ever forgive so-and-so. May Allah never enter so-and-so into Jannah. May so-and-so never enter paradise. May so-and-so be forbidden from the mercy of Allah. Like this, all of this is the same meaning. All of this is the same meaning. You understand? So even if you have the word la'an, it's clear. But even the meaning of a la'an is that a person who will be taken away in distance and far from the mercy of Allah. Meaning that he will be in the anger of Allah. May so-and-so die upon disbelief. May so-and-so die upon sins. May Allah take his soul whenever he's angry with him. All of this right here, this has the same meaning. These are foul statements. This is not from the statements of a believer. A believer, no matter how angry he gets, he will not speak like this. Especially towards a Muslim. Al-Islam is based upon mercy. The Prophet of Allah, he's the Prophet of mercy. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever a believer, he meets his brother, his believing brother, the way they greet them is with peace and safety. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the way that a believer, he meets his brother. And so contrary to that is to curse him. Contrary to that is to curse him and to hope that he will be in the anger of Allah and the punishment of Allah, far from the mercy of Allah. So this is something that is forbidden and from the major sins. This is something that is forbidden and from the major sins. So the author, he says, عن أبي درداء رضي الله عنه مرفوعا, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إن العبد إذا لعن شيئا صعدت اللعنة إلى السماء فتغلق أبواب السماء دونها ثم تهبط إلى الأرض فتغلق أبوابها دونها ثم تأخذ يمينا وشمالا فإذا لم تجد مساغا رجعت إلى الذي لعن فإن كان أهلا وإلا رجعت إلى قائلها رواه أبو داود بسند جيد. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the hadith of Abi Darda radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن العبد إذا لعن شيئا, إن العبد إذا لعن شيئا, that verily a person, a slave, an individual, if he were to curse anything, شيئا, this is nakira. If he curses anything, in la'ana shay'an, this is nakira fi siyaq, a shart. It has the same, like nafi, nakira fi siyaq, a nafi wa nahi, wa shart, tufidu al-umum. So here we have a shart. In al-abda idha la'ana shay'an, sa'idat, la'natu ila sama. So the person, if he curses anything, yani a person, an animal, a tool, a rock, a car, yani an inanimate object, or a living being, or anything from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. If a person, or anything, yani anything that he cursed, if he cursed anything, then the curse will rise up to the heavens. And then the heavens are going to close in front of it. Yani فَتُغْلَقُ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ دُونَهَا يَنِي قُدَّامَ أَلَعْنَةً, in front of the curse. The person, if he cursed anything, what happens to that curse? It rises to the heavens. Whenever it reaches the heavens, the doors, they shut in front of it. They shut in front of it. And then it will descend to the earth. And then whenever it descends to the earth, and likewise the gates, they will be closed and locked in front of it. And then the curse will go to the left and to the right. And if it didn't find, يعني فإذا لم تجد مساغا يعني مدخلا وطريقا, if it didn't find any way, any path now, then what will it do? It will go back to the one that was cursed. It will go back to the one that was cursed. And if he deserves that curse, then it will be upon him. But if he doesn't deserve that curse, then it will go back to the one who said it. it'll go back to the one who said it. You understand that? And so this is a major affair for a person, he cursed anything. Some people, because of their weakness in their religion and deficiency in their faith, and because of how despicable their manners have become, they get mad. The slightest anger riles up in their heart. They curse this one, they curse that one. Some of them, even they'll curse his family, he'll curse his child. His child do something wrong, la'anah Allah, la'anak Allah, like this, la'anah this, or he'll curse his car, or he's working with something and it doesn't work right, he'll curse his computer. He'll curse, like some people, they're like that. Even worse than that, some people, they're so lowly, they curse the deen of Allah. He'll become angry and he'll curse Allah Azza wa Jal. Or he'll curse the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or he'll curse the messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This one here is disbelief. And there's no excuse for him. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. But just to curse something, any lesser than that, this is what is included here. If that thing deserves to be cursed, then the curses will befall that. And if it doesn't deserve to be cursed, it will come back to the one who said it. And meaning that the curse will fall on him. Meaning that the anger of Allah will fall on him. Meaning that he is the one who will be distanced away from the mercy of Allah. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So this is something that one should take lightly. The author, he says, is narrated by Abu Dawood, بِسَانَدٍ in Jayyid. This hadith here with a good chain. After that, he says, وَلَهُ شَاهِدٌ عِنْدَ أَحْمَدَ بِسَنَدٍ مِّنْ حَدِيثِ إِبْنِ مَسْعُودٍ. And also, there is another narration similar to this, testifying to its authenticity, بِسَنَدٍ. وَلَهُ عَلَمْ بِسَنَدٍ حَسَنٍ is what is supposed to be here. بِسَنَدٍ حَسَنٍ, with a good chain, from the حَدِيثِ إِبْنِ مَسْعُودٍ. And then he said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ وَأَخْرَجُهُ أَبُو دَاوُودُ وَغَيْرُهُ مِنْ حَدِيثِ ابْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا رُوَاتُهُ ثِقَاتٍ لَكِنْ وَعِلَّ بِالْإِرْسَانِ. But it also has been narrated by Abu Dawood, and other than that, from the Hadith Ibn Abbas and the narrators, they're all reliable, but it has been mentioned there's a defect of Al-Irsal. That narration likewise has been authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani, and the narration we have here is authentic and Allah knows best. The author, he mentioned, Rahimahullah, Wadi Muslimin an Abi Barza, Yani Al-Aslami radiallahu anhu marfu'a, anna mra'atan la'anat naqatan laha. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تسحبنا ناقة عليها لعنة. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, another narration by an Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Barza al-Aslami رضي الله عنه, that there was a woman. There was a woman who cursed a camel. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that no camel that has been cursed is going to accompany us. The author, he says, وَلَهُ عَنْ إِمْرَانِ نَحْوُهُ. And also, narrated by Muslim, another narration by Imran, Yani Ibn Hussein, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And he also in Sahih Muslim. And the wording in Sahih Muslim, the wording of Imran Ibn Hussein, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he mentioned that they were in some travels with the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was a woman from the Ansar, and she was riding on a camel. And there was also belongings and the likes on this camel, but there was a woman riding on it. And then she became frustrated. فَضَجِرَتْ فَلَعَنَتْهَا فَسَمِعَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذَلِكَ. So she became frustrated, or she became agitated, so she cursed the camel. So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he heard that and he said, خُذُوا مَا عَلَيْهَا وَدَعُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا مَلْعُونَ. He said, take everything down from it. Take everything down from the camel. And leave it alone. Verily it's been cursed. Verily it's been cursed. And this is a curse. In the narration here, the author mentioned that no cursed camel is going to ride along with us. If that camel's cursed, then no cursed camel can ride along with us. And we don't want any animals or any camels that have the curse of Allah upon them to be in our company and riding in our company. And in some words, it's mentioned, خُذُوا مَا عَلَيْهَا. And then in other words, ضَعُوا عَنْهَا. And he take everything off of it. Take everything off of it. The people of knowledge, they mention, and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended by this is to punish that woman for what she had said. To punish that woman for what? For what she had said. Yani as a reprimand. Oh, if it's cursed, then take everything off of it and get down. Take everything off of it and get down. We don't want to have any camels that are cursed along with us. For this reason, Imran, he mentioned radiallahu anhu, so he says, فَكَأَنِّي أَرَاهَا الْآنَ تَمْشِي فِي النَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْرِضُ لَهُ أَحَدٌ. He said, it's as if I can see her now walking amongst the people and nobody would even talk to her. Nobody would even speak with her. Yani meaning that because of this affair. So it's not light to curse something. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the first narrative, to curse something. Here she cursed an animal. She's benefiting from it, riding on it, and the likes like this, and the belongings are being carried on it, and then she cursed it. She called on Allah to put His curse on it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, like this, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reprimanded her in this manner. Oh, if that's the case, get in. The camel right there, let it go. Let it go. Take everything off of it, and you just walk. This is what she wound up doing, walking now. So this is again a clarification of the danger of this affair, and that the issue of the tongue is a major affair, and that the tongue is so little and light, but it can bring about great calamities, and it can bring about great dangers, and it can bring a person to a lowly level, if he uses it yani, without any restrictions, without any limits, and if he follows his whims and desires with regards to it. As for if he checks his tongue, and he refrains his tongue, and he strives against his soul with regards to his tongue, and then he uses his tongue in that which is allowed and permissible, and the avenues of the pleasure of Allah, he can reach high status and rank likewise. And the tongue is such a great blessing and favor from Allah, that one he must show thanks with regards to, and it's something that the human being has been preferred over the rest of the creation, to have a tongue, yani meaning to speak and to be eloquent, to have a tongue and to be able to express oneself and his feelings, in his heart, in his emotions, and the likes like this, in the most beautiful manner. This is something that Allah has specified the children of Adam with over the rest of the animals. So this is something that is of the most importance to learn about the diseases of the tongue, and the ills of the tongue, and the affairs that could bring one to his destruction by way of his tongue, in order to avoid them, and likewise learn the beautiful affairs of the tongue, and that which is allowed to say from the mention of Allah and the remembrance of Allah, and ordering the good and forbidding the evil, and the recitation of the Quran and supplicating to Allah, and the likes like this. All of this is something that is praiseworthy and beneficial for the person. In any case, there's a trial with regards to the tongue, and these issues here that the author he's been mentioning, these are all major sins that occur by way of the tongue. And the fact that the tongue is falling into major sins is an indication of the corruption of the heart. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that the hearts, they're like pots. They're like bowls full of food. And the tongue is like the big spoon that dishes out what is there. So the same way you taste the sweetness or the bitterness or the beautiful and good taste of the food or opposite of that, yani with the spoon, you dip it out of the bowl and out of the pot. Likewise, a person's tongue, he's going to dip out for you what is in his heart. He's going to dip out and dish out for you what is in his heart, so you can taste what he has there. And you can see what is in his heart by his statements and his speech, and how he speaks in the manner that he clarifies himself. If it's good, and the likes, alhamdulillah. And if it's contrary to that, then this is a clarification of that corruption in the heart. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.